The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Maxine Miles is a production of Atypical Artists and iHeartRadio.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's just a cabin.
Yeah, complete with Mr. Beatty's interior decorating skills. God forbid the man learn about throw pillows. What did you expect?
I don't know. Riley?
Worth a shot, I guess. Oh, hey, look, a creepy old locked trunk. I bet there's not a body chopped up in there.
Shh, be serious. Look, where do those lead?
Max.
What?
Just be careful.
They're just doors, Ross.
But you don't know what's behind them.
Whatever it is, I'll handle it.
We'll handle it.
Fine. You want to get that door then? Okay. On the count of three. One.
Two.
Three!
It's just a bathroom. What'd you get?
Bedroom. No Riley in here either.
Did you really expect to find him in here?
I don't know, Beatty looked like he was running away. Like he had something to hide.
Well, maybe he does.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Are you thinking of looking through all his drawers and closets?
Then yes. We just have to make sure to put everything back the way it was before we leave so that he doesn't suspect anything is off.
And we need to be quick. We still have no idea where he went.
Right. And then we should see if we can track him down. See what exactly... Ross?
What? What is it? Whoa. That's... a lot of cash.
What on earth would Mr. Beatty be doing with...
Shh!
Is that...
Quick!
What are we... Ross, what?
Max, be quiet. It's Mr. Beatty.
If we're lucky. Because there's only one tiny window in here, which means the only way out is through that main room. And if we get caught...
There's no escape.
From Atypical Artists and iHeartRadio, you're listening to Maxine Miles. This is Chapter 6, The Cabin.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Mr. Beatty.
What is he doing?
I don't know, but you need to be quiet.
But...
Hello? No, he's not. I told you. I don't know where he is now. Yes. Yes, I understand. But do you really think... Yes. Yes, okay. No, he left nothing behind. I know, but I'll get him back, I promise. No, that won't be necessary. No, give me a chance to find him first. There's no need to escalate this. Yes, I'll get it done by Sunday night. You have my word.
Jeez, your hand is freezing.
Well, so are your lips. Seriously though, are you like, okay? You're not gonna go into hypothermic shock or anything?
I'm fine. It's just nighttime in October, and we're in the middle of the freaking woods. At least I can breathe now.
Look, I'm sorry. It's just that I...
No, it's fine. I get it.
I didn't want him to hear us.
Right. Well, what was that all about?
I have no idea. Is he making tea?
It sure sounds like it.
Well, I guess we're stuck here then.
Great.
Yeah, I wish there was room to sit.
As long as you don't try to shut me up again, we'll be fine.
Well, will you be quiet now?
You're the one who's talking up a storm.
I'm freaking out a little bit, Max.
Yeah, this is not ideal.
Yeah, no shit.
I don't think Mr. Beatty would ever... hurt us.
I'm sorry, did you hear that phone call? I'll get him back. No need to escalate. I really don't want to find out what Mr. Beatty means by escalate.
Well then, I guess it's good he doesn't seem to see a need for it then. But you're right. That call was very odd.
I'm surprised you're not already in the other room interrogating him about it.
I'm just as invested as you in not getting caught.
I thought you had a brilliant plan where we would have a perfectly reasonable explanation for why we came in here.
Yeah, that was before we went through his stuff and hid in a closet. I don't know how we would explain this.
I mean, there's plenty of reasons why two teenagers might sneak off to a cabin in the woods and then not want to get caught.
What? What are you talking about?
Come on, Max. We're standing nose to nose in a closet. I think it'd be pretty easy for Mr. Beatty to make a leap to...
Oh. Yeah. Okay, I see what you mean.
I'm not saying that's what we're doing.
No, I get it. I mean, that would be a good excuse.
Right. It's not like it's true.
Right. But if a person were to come across us in this situation, they might think that... I mean, it looks a certain way.
Right, and it's not our fault that it looks that way.
Right.
Right.
But, I still don't think it's a good idea to go out there.
Yeah, no, terrible idea. Better to just play it safe.
Exactly. And if he does come back in here...
We can...
Looks like we're safe for however long it takes him to drink his tea, I guess.
So how'd it go with Theo and Jenna?
What?
The love note thing.
What? Ross, do you think now is the time?
I don't know. I don't know what to do. I've never been in this situation before. I don't know what the appropriate topic of conversation
is. Ross!
I'm freaking out, Max! My scary neighbor who's wanted to murder me for years over the time I ran over his rose bushes is in the other room while we hide in his secret cabin, and you're so... I could barely breathe, and I just need you to... I don't know. I... Just get my mind off this whole situation.
Okay! Okay, I get it. It's... Okay, I'm here. Whew. We're gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Nothing bad is gonna happen, I promise.
Okay. Thank you.
Of course.
You don't have to keep,
Oh, right. Sorry, I didn't mean to...
No, it's totally fine.
I just didn't know what else to do.
We're good.
Cool.
So, the love notes?
Right, right. It went fine, I guess, all things considered.
What do you mean?
Jenna, she never wanted to date whoever was writing the notes in the first place, no matter who it turned out to be.
Why'd she want you to figure it out, then?
To get them to stop? And, well, I didn't figure it out in the end. You told me.
Well, you would have gotten there eventually.
I don't know. I mean, it never occurred to me that it could be Theo.
Really? The poetry didn't tip you off?
I guess I didn't want it to be him. Because he and Jenna are such good friends, you know? And it might make it weird.
Right. But it all turned out okay anyway?
I think it will. I guess... Theo wasn't really that invested after all. Jenna seemed to think he liked the idea of writing love poems more than actually being in love. What?
What?
Come on, you clearly have an opinion about it.
I think Jenna is probably right.
How did you find out about it anyway?
Theo told me.
Why? I didn't think you guys were that close.
We're not. But he... He wanted to know what it feels like.
What feels like?
Theo's smart, you know? Yeah, he's sentimental as hell, but he's not dumb. He'd been writing the poems for a while and realized that he didn't really want to go any further than that. that he wanted to have a crush. And Jenna was...
there?
No, that sounds bad. He cares about her, obviously, but I think he hoped it would be more. That writing her notes would make him feel the way he wanted to feel, you know, some grand romance or whatever. Such a sap.
Wait, so I still don't get it. Why was he talking to you?
I guess he wanted to talk to the most mature person he knows.
Right, of course. Because when people think grand romance, Ross Teller is the first name to come up.
Well, maybe you don't know everyone as well as you think you do, Max. I mean, look at Riley, right? We all had this specific idea of him. The golden boy, star student, apple of his parents' eye.
What's your point?
What was he into, Max? What have we gotten ourselves into?
I don't know. It sounds like he's done with his tea, or is he making more?
Do you think he's settling in for the night?
Well, he always goes home, right? Whenever you've watched him?
Yeah, that's true, but it's sometimes...
3 in the morning. Right.
How pissed is Joe gonna be?
I have a feeling I'll never be able to leave the house ever again.
Hey, remember when you got the chicken pox when we were 7?
And we rigged up that bucket so I could send down comic books.
And I could send up candy?
Yeah.
We could do that again. I could send up new info about the case.
And I could send down leads for you to chase.
It's a good system.
Yeah, it is.
We make a good team.
Yeah, we...
Is that...
He's asleep. Should we...
It might be our only chance.
Come on.
Shit.
Is that...
The duffel bag.
Oh my god, quick! Anything?
Nothing. Just... Charleston chews?
Oh my god.
What? What is it?
Those are Riley's favorite candy bars.
What?
Come on. We have to get out of here.
Wait.
What?
Let me go first?
Ross, why...
Just... Okay, yeah, he's out. Let's go.
Come on. Oh my god, I can't believe we just did that.
Are you happy now? We've successfully followed Mr. Beatty.
I'm just happy we didn't get caught.
Miracle of miracles. Where are we?
I think... somewhere southwest of the main mine entrance? Which means the nearest road should be about a mile... that way.
How the hell do you know that?
I told you. I studied the maps.
For a day?
I have a good memory.
You're amazing. All right. Guess we should start heading to the road then.
Do you have a watch?
Yeah, it's, shit, it's dark out. It's almost 9 o'clock.
Oh, crap. Joey's gonna kill me.
At least it's not 3 a.m.
True. Don't understand. Why would Mr. Beatty want to kidnap Riley?
You think he did it?
It's not looking good, Ross.
I told you.
I know. But you thinking Mr. Beatty is creepy isn't actually a compelling motive for a crime like this.
Having a secret murder cabin feels like a good start.
Okay, let's go through what we know. Mr. Beatty has left his own house most nights for anywhere from an hour to half the night, sometimes with stuff, but basically never returning with the same stuff.
Right.
And we don't know anything about him owning any other property. But then again, we didn't know anything about him having a family at one time, so...
Yeah, any updates on that?
Nothing new. Just that he had a wife and son, and they're gone now. I don't know the specifics. But that also tells us that Mr. Beatty is really private, so him owning a cabin in the woods that no one knows about...
Not outside of the realm of possibility.
Exactly. Then there's the matter of the... I would guess $700 in cash in the nightstand?
And the candy bars.
And the candy bars. And that phone call. Someone knew he was going to be there.
Or someone knew that someone was going to be there.
He sounded angry, right? On the phone?
Beatty always sounds angry.
Yeah, but this wasn't yelling at you for ruining his roses. This was... He sounded scared, too. Like...
Desperate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez, it's cold.
Oh, here.
Oh, you don't need to...
You've lived here your whole life, Max. How are you not in the habit of bundling up?
I'm wearing my winter coat.
Yeah, with no hat, no gloves...
Oh, but now you're going to be cold.
It's just a scarf, Miles.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Max?
Yeah?
Can you keep my little freak out to yourself? I really don't want anyone hearing about me having a panic attack in Mr. Beatty's closet.
I wasn't exactly planning on telling anyone about the trespassing we just did.
Of course.
But also, there's nothing embarrassing about that, Ross.
Says you.
I think it's normal to get stressed out in a situation like that.
You weren't.
Yeah, because I had you there.
What?
I don't know. Everything always seems less scary when you're there. You always pull me back before I do something really stupid.
Do I? I feel like you've been doing plenty of stupid stuff lately.
Gee, thanks.
Well, I'm glad my cowardice keeps you grounded.
That's not what I meant.
Then what did you mean?
Wait, is that...
What?
Oh my god. Ross, this is... I can't believe it, it's...
That's Riley's backpack.
Now, I'm not going to stand here and chew you out for joining the search party without my knowledge, an extremely dangerous thing to do, because I know your uncle is going to be plenty mad for the both of us.
I know, Mr. Combs. I'm really sorry, okay? I should have told you, but I knew you wouldn't have let me
join.
You're
damn right I wouldn't have. And you, Ross, I thought you knew better.
What gave you that idea?
You're supposed to be looking out for Maxine.
Why does everyone insist on making Ross my keeper?
I mean, you did just say...
Well, because he... You need someone to look out for you, Max.
I do. I've got all of Hastings, which is why it's my job to look out for Hastings in return.
You can do that by staying safe.
I thought you weren't going to chew us out.
I'm not. But I need you to understand just how serious this...
We do. That's what we're trying to tell you. Look. We found Riley's backpack.
What?
In the woods, about half a mile east of Route 302.
Do you know the mile marker?
I don't know. It was dark, so we didn't check.
That's okay.
No, it's not. I don't know how I didn't think of that.
It was near that old covered bridge, the one that crosses Dry Creek River.
That's right.
I don't know how we could have missed that. We checked that area on our first search party.
Maybe it wasn't there.
My, quite a gathering for near midnight on a weeknight.
Hal,
I hope these young people aren't in trouble, Sheriff Combs. You know, parking isn't a crime, even if it is frowned upon.
Oh my god, oh my god.
We can't even drive.
Hal, I didn't think you'd be in this late, which is why I didn't... Look at this. Max and Ross found Riley Stevens' backpack.
Really? Well, isn't that very interesting?
It's a good sign, right? I mean, maybe it wasn't even there when we did the first search party. Maybe Riley left it. Maybe he really is lost, or maybe someone...
It definitely is progress.
What's in it?
Nothing of note. Just school books, pens, pencils.
Is his camera in there? Riley had a camera. He liked to take photos for his articles.
Wait, you're right. Where's his camera?
Not here.
Very strange indeed. And you two just found this?
Yeah, it was just sitting on the forest floor.
And this was it, right? Nothing else in the area around it?
No, we checked.
Did you come across anything else in the woods? Anything odd?
Nope. No. Nothing odd at all.
Maxine Miles was created by Lauren Shippen and is a production of Atypical Artists on iHeartRadio. This episode was written and directed by Lauren Shippen. Dialogue editing and sound design by Marissa Ewing of Hemlock Creek Productions, with editing assistance from Lorianne Davis and Melissa Pons. It featured Jordan Cobb as Maxine Miles, Mike Cefalo as Ross Teller, Nate DeFort as Mr. Beatty, Sean Jane as Sheriff Combs, and Josh Rubino as Mayor Hal. Original artwork by Shane McMullen. For more information about the show, please visit MaxineMiles.com and follow @AtypicalArtists on Twitter and Instagram. Maxine Miles is executive produced by Lauren Shippen and iHeartRadio. And for more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thank you for listening, and keep curious.